Hi, Marvin. Welcome to AirHacks FM.
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate having me on.
The hardest question ever. What was your first computer?
That's an easy one. I had an Atari 400.
400? I only know the 800 XL. This is what
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, I got that one as an upgrade. But yeah, that was my first computer. I don't even remember the year. It was probably probably early, maybe 1984, maybe. No, it was before that, maybe 1982. Yeah.
Something like this. Okay. And how the 400 was different to the 800?
Let's see. The 200 or the 400, it had a flat keyboard. Mm-hmm. It didn't have mechanical keys. They were just like flat keys. And spec wise, I have no idea.
Look and feel, you know, not the spec, but I think this is the form factor, you know. It was
the 800 was a lot smaller. It was more like a keyboard with a computer built into it, where the 400 was more like a game console with a keyboard attached to it.
I never saw the 400, so I have to do some research. You see?
Yeah.
And what you did with the computer? Why you got it? First question.
I was around 12 years old. I got straight A's that year in middle school.
Wow.
And my parents asked me what, since I got straight A's, that, you know, they would reward me with a gift. And at that time I'd been an Atari gamer, just like every other teenager. And, I had read in gaming magazine that if you got one of these things called a personal computer, you could create your own games. And I was like, wow, that is cool. So that's why I got my first computer. I wanted to learn how to write video games. So.
And what you did before that? How you played games without having a computer?
Just the Atari 2600 game console.
Okay. So you had the console already, and you wanted to have a computer to write games.
Yeah. Yep.
That's actually a cool story. And you got the computer, and what happened then? And I'm curious.
I got it right at the end of the school year, and I had no idea how to use it, and I can't even remember. I guess I figured this out through a magazine, but I got a basic language cartridge. You had to plug a cartridge. The basic language is just like a game cartridge. And I got a book.
But on the 400, right? Not the 800. 800.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got a book on BASIC. And man, ever since then, I've been coding pretty much every day of my life.
You like the experience with the BASIC? So you understood what's actually in the book?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they didn't have floppy drives. They that's the first thing I learned. You know, I'm writing these programs and I had no way to save them. So I had to get, it was basically a cassette recorder that plugged into the serial port of the computer. And you saved your programs on a cassette tape.
Yeah. Load and save. These were the commands, basic commands, right?
Yep. And, I remember when I first got my first floppy drive. Wow, that was just exciting.
Exactly. Yeah, the problem with the tapes, as I remember, you could save load and save, and you can even name the files which are stored on the tape, but you had to wait until they come, right? So if you said, okay, the name is the name of the file is AB, then you just wait until it starts. And if it was not the file, then you have to wait half an hour or whatever, right? So and floppies were great. So this was like dream. Yeah.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
So okay. So you start to program, and what was your first game, or whatever? What was your most serious applications you implemented back then?
You know, I was a kid, so
yeah, yeah.
I created a couple games, you know, nothing like that was like, you know, impressive.
Mostly, but what
like,
was it roughly, you know, roughly?
One, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, they talk about this on the movie, Ready Player One, the Atari, I think adventure, you know, where you're just moving a dot through like a maze of different mm-hmm. screens of mazes. So that was sort of like my first game. I created something like that. And then that was my lesson in RAM because my friend got into it with me after a couple weeks of me just doing that nonstop. He decided he would start helping me and we were both programming and we got this error. I don't remember what the error message was, but it meant we had ran out of RAM.
Oh.
so that was our first experience with random access memory. Like, wow, you can run out.
And you knew about pick and pokes back then, or this was just hell?
You know what? I don't remember, to be honest.
Because this is what I remember. I understood basic, but pick and pokes was black magic for me. So years later, I got what it actually is. And I didn't have, you know, the book with the memory map. So I had no idea what to do. And the others just knew. And this was, for me, like, amazing that they knew, you know, put two numbers and the behavior of the game changed. It's like, how they can know it, you know? So this was the big question.
Yeah. So what was your first computer?
ZX Spectrum. You know ZX Spectrum Amstrad?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
No. ZX Spectrum, it was big in UK.
Okay.
And Z80 processors. Lots of my guests had also ZX Spectrum. And it was similar to Atari, pretty much, okay. I would say, from the specs. It's not as good as the 520, but I think will be comparable to the 800. And I had I got the sophisticated ZX Spectrum with 128K memory. And the usual one was 48, and I could switch between both.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, in the United States at that time, I think it was the Atari and the Commodore 64 were the two the two big computers.
And I think Commodore was way better than the Atari, right, from graphics?
I think so, yeah. I was a kid, and I was a loyal Atari, you know, because I played Atari on console games. So that was my brand, but. Yeah, Commodore probably was a better computer.
And Atari was predecessor of Mac, more or less, right? So there were some commonalities, I would say.
I had the Atari 400, the Atari 800 XL. That was the next one I got. And then after that, I got the Atari, I think it was called like the 1500 ST or something. That was more like a Mac. It had like the monitor with the computer that was built into the monitor and a floppy drive right in the front. So, and it had the window type graphical user interface. So,
And you still wrote games back then?
Yeah. I got out of it when I started college, but
there were any sophisticated games or?
Nah, not really. They were all just everything was in BASIC. Okay. I never got beyond BASIC. When I was using it.
So when you stopped, writing games and started something else to implement.
I'm trying to think. When I went to college, I wasn't doing a whole lot. I went to college for aerospace engineering, so I didn't have a whole lot of free time.
Space engineering.
Yeah, aerospace. So, yeah, rocket science.
You are the rocket scientist.
Yeah, well, I don't use it, but I got a degree in it. Let's see. So, yeah, without the internet, it wasn't, the internet changed everything, right? Like, you had access to a lot more information. I didn't really have a whole lot of ideas for stuff. I would try to write small programs that were utilitarian, that could help do things. I remember trying to write a calorie counter program at some point, but this was all before. I did write my own budget program that was pretty sophisticated as far as tracking my tracking all my spending and all. After that was right after I got out of college.
But this is actually good enough. I mean, what would you expect? It's just I was interested. What is the trajectory from writing simple basic software, and what was the next language you learned? This is also interesting.
So when I graduated from college with an aerospace degree, there really wasn't almost all that. This was in 1992. The majority of the jobs were in software. So luckily I had software background. So I was able to get a job in software working for NASA. They were doing, at that time, they were actually most of their software was written in Fortran. Mm-hmm. So, they were at that time converting a lot of their software from Fortran to C. Mm-hmm. So that C was basically I knew a little Fortran, but C was the next language really that I learned. Mm-hmm. And then I quickly learned C++ from there. Mm-hmm. And then Java after that. So, yeah.
But, so after your college, you joined NASA?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, and this was like your dream. You wanted to be a space engineer or what's?
Yeah, I don't know if it was my dream, but it was cool to get a job at NASA. I didn't know when I got out of college, I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, mm-hmm. I loved software was my passion. So I don't know why I didn't go to college mm-hmm. for software development, but, I got out of school, ended up with a software job and realized, this is what I was good at. This is what I like to do. So I just mm-hmm. stayed in the field. So that's what I did for my whole career. So.
Okay. And why you learned Java? Because NASA was interested in Java or what's?
Actually, no, Java was much later than that. NASA was going from Fortran. They were experimenting with a lot of stuff. They were doing C, they were doing Ada. Mm-hmm. They were doing C plus. They were then going to C plus plus. I left there in the C plus plus era, and I just started. I don't know why I didn't. I wasn't learning Java for my professional career. It was the new thing. So I just started picking it up, and I didn't use it that much. I probably didn't use it that much till around like the end of the probably like the beginning of the 2000s. So,
mm-hmm. And before we start with Java, so what you did in NASA, what are some cool projects?
The group that I worked with, they were mission planning. So they were doing they wrote software to allow the actual engineers to plan out actual, space missions, that, mm-hmm. Trajectories for the rockets and the satellites and stuff like that. So, believe it or not, the way they did it, when I first got out of college was every mission had its own specific software that they used. Like, they would take the software from the previous mission, mm-hmm. make a full copy of it basically, and then change it for the new mission. They didn't have the concept of like a piece of software where they could just use for any type of mission, right? Like
it was almost microservices what they did, right?
Yeah. So it was pretty archaic, I think is the word.
Yeah. Scripting.
So, yeah, the first project that I worked on there in C++, our small group created a Windows-based application that we were trying to tell them that, look, you can have one piece of software and use this for all your missions. You don't have to have individual mm-hmm. software for each mission. You can use this software. And as far as I know, I left before that was finished, but it never really went anywhere. So I imagine they eventually caught up to that, but yeah. So,
yeah. What you can do, right? You can try and improve the world. So, and what I tried to do, I tried to do it three times, and if it doesn't work, I gave up. So what you can do, right? You cannot. Yeah. Okay. So, you learned Java. in the early 2000s, and what you did with Java then? What was your first project, or why you learned Java? There were post.
Wow, that's a good question. I'm having a hard time remembering. I guess it was the new thing, and I was always just trying to try new things. And I guess the real reason, I don't remember why I started using Java, honestly.
But you know, maybe which version of Java was the first one you used?
Wow, I don't even remember that.
But you said early 2000s, so I assume it's JDK 1.2 or 1.3.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah, and at the time, applets were a thing, so that may have been why I started playing around with it, because I wanted to try out using applets. It was weird because basically up to that point my career was in C++, so Java was kind of, it felt weird because I was used to having two files for every class, a header file and a implementation file.
Exactly. This is you are the first we are saying this. For me it was the same. So I spent time with C++, and then Java came. And I like Java, but what I really hated is that for me, C++ was cleaner because the include files were separated, from the actual file. And right. The linking was like, I found this is really cleaner. In Java was for me like interface and class. Yes, somehow, if you think about it, it's also two files. But for me, it was not as clean as C++. It's hard to explain right now, but I really remember the feelings. Okay, somehow Java is not clean enough, because in C++ there was the clean separation.
I felt the same way, but after I got used to it, there was no going back.
Yeah, I think if I was some free time, I would still try, to relearn maybe C++ just for fun, because there was fun stuff like operator overloading and C in and C out. So there was lots of crazy stuff, which is fun, but I would not use it in production. But maybe it's, maybe it's useful. Who knows? Before I learn another esoteric language, I would rather relearn C++. Right. So this is
the one thing I miss the most from C++ is typedefs. I do miss that because
for what? What you did with it?
For more type restrictiveness, mm-hmm. So you could define a type. It sort of communicated, instead of having a string for like every parameter, you could type def a string so you knew exactly what type, if that was currency, right? You could say, well, this is currency. I mean, you can do it in Java with a class, but.
Or annotation.
Sometimes a class is just,
Or annotation, right? It sounds more like adding annotation for a more specific information, like metadata.
Yeah, I guess so. I just found typedefs to be...
I'm not sure whether they were available in my time, because I started with C++ before, maybe 1994, something like this, and I had the C++ on Linux, and what I remember, they had trouble with templates. So templates were not... So maybe typedef was not available. I don't know. I cannot remember typedefs.
Typedef was basically like just one line of code you could put anywhere. You just said typedef, give it a name, and then the class that you were typing. So it was pretty easy to use.
So what happened then with Java and you? So what you started to do with Java?
Let's see. So, I'm trying to think of what year it was.
It does matter roughly, right? So what interests me, what was your, when you got excited about Java and what do you implement? So what was the first projects or?
The biggest thing I implemented that I can remember was back around the time of the tech bubble, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to,
2001.
Yeah, it might have been a little after that, but I remember writing a web scraper program using Java that could collect stock information, and I was collecting tons of stock information like weekly and then I was using it to pick stocks basically. So that was pretty cool.
So like a crawler robot, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember the website I was using to collect my data, they discovered that I was doing that, and they started redirecting my requests out to the Human Genome Project. So instead of downloading...
but this is actually a cool reaction.
Yeah. Instead of collecting stock data, I was just downloading the human genome. And
that's actually a cool story. This is a nice one.
Yeah, that's funny. So I contacted them about it, and they were like, "Well, we don't want you using our data like that." And I was like, "Well, I'm just like a hobbyist. I'm just doing this. You know, I'm not a commercial, entity or anything." And they said, "Well, okay, we'll let you do it if you agree to report any bugs you find." So I was like, "Okay." So they allowed me to keep scraping their website for their data.
And you found any bugs?
I did not. So
I
was doing a scraping their website, so it wasn't a whole lot of stuff.
What I wanted to implement always was like a crawler recursively, right? Which searches the entire internet from link to link to link. So this is what I wanted to do once.
I know I did that too. And then, the information just explodes, right? It's the storage of it's just storage of all that data. That's the problem.
How long your bot went, because I had no time to implement this.
I don't know. It didn't run that long until I started running into performance problems where, storing the data and then accessing it to see if I'd already accessed that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was doing this just, as a hobby, and other things came up. I was always coming up with new ideas. So,
yeah.
But yeah, the crawling the web is like, I don't know. There's something exciting about that. I don't know what it is, but that was a fun thing to do.
I think this is how Google happened, say, okay. And then
when I really got into Java was, at some point back, I don't know, 2005, something like that. Maybe I got a job at a startup that was converting a Java applet into regular HTML and JavaScript.
And I thought Flash.
Man, I hate that. I hated that. I just, that job was terrible. Trying to write code in JavaScript. It was just, I just didn't like going to work every day. And I only lasted a job like 6 months. But after I came out of that job, I was like, you know what, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I started, I actually started a new product I called Galileo, and it was leveraging applet technology to try to build like a more flashy user interface for the web for Java. But then it was shortly after that they basically obsoleted the Java applet technology because of security issues and stuff. So that project didn't go anywhere.
Okay, and you did it as a product, so it was like a company around, or?
Yeah, but it never went public. The product never came to fruition. I never finished it, and it never was available for anybody to use, just because the applet got obsoleted. So it was sort of like a.
But you worked full time on it?
Oh yeah, for like, I want to say maybe a year. I worked full time on it.
It is a set, right? So if you invest so much time. And
yeah, it is. It was a lot of time.
So then I can tell also a sad story, because what I did is I wrote once a book about JavaFX script, and then the book was finished, and then JavaFX script was killed.
Oh, that's terrible.
This was almost the same day. But for me, it was not as bad, because I just wrote the book. I was a consultant, so there was like dead time in hotels, in trains and buses. Never quality time. It's just, dead time, basically. So I still enjoyed that. So I was not even sad, I would say. So, okay, it is cool, because if the book was finished, but they would edit this and do stuff, so the boring phase began. So I was actually happy. So again, who cares? So move on, right? The editor was stunned that actually I'm not angry. So, okay, why we should publish the book if the JavaFX script, not JavaFX, JavaFX script was killed, right? So, so what did you do afterwards? So Galileo was killed, and then?
Let's see. So then I got a job at another company here doing Java work, which that was full Java work. And that's really when I was really leveraging Java a lot. That was for a control system for a battle aircraft carrier.
Hey, cool.
And then while I was working that job, I don't
remember. Aircraft carrier, like, you know, Top Gun.
So while I was working that job, my sister, who was an elementary school teacher at the time, came to me. She says, you know, I was using this website that was an online grade book and just disappeared overnight. She goes, is that something like you could do? And I was like, well, sounds like a fun project to try. So I, that's where, you know, the idea of iGrade Plus came from. That's my big product. And so I started developing that.
What
is the product?
No, what do you started develop back then? So what was the first use case?
Basically, it was just create something you could log in, create your account, and then create a grade book, and then create classes, enter assignments, and then record grades. I hadn't, you know, my experience before
this would be even a cool business idea, because you could implement backdoor for the kids. And if they if they pay you, no, $1, whatever, no, you get A grade for $3, B $2, C $1, you know, and you will be millionaire in shortest amount of time, I would say.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't think about that. I'd probably be able to retire, but I already been able to retire if I did that.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I hadn't done a lot of web development before then. So, my only experience was that 6 month stint at the startup. And I was like, man, I can't do this in JavaScript. Like, it just isn't going to work. So I started looking for, Java based solutions. And at the time, all I found was JSP, Google Web Toolkit and
JSF.
JSF. That's the only thing I saw. And I originally started with the first version I did it with JSP, and I don't know how far I got into it with that before I realized that was not going to work. It just wasn't really going to work. It wasn't robust enough. And I'm big into design or object-oriented design and architecture, and it just wasn't working for me. So that's where I came up with the idea for Orion. Is I'm like, you know, I just want to write object-oriented Java code. And I want, just like if I was writing a desktop application, but I just want it to run on the web. So I started developing Orion in tandem with iGrade Plus. So now, you know, that's where I'm at now. So
when it started with,
the original idea for iGrade Plus, my sister first came to me was probably like around 2012. And there, it was just a part-time like project at that time, and depending on how busy I was at my full-time job, you know, there were times where months would go by where I was working like 80 hours a week at my full-time job, so I wasn't getting any work done on iGrade Plus. So it might have been like 2 or 3 years before it really became I put the first release out. And I got really busy at my full-time job, and I wasn't even paying attention. And then I realized people were actually starting to use it. Mm-hmm. And which was kind of cool because, like, I, you know, I hadn't worked on it for months and people were starting to use it on the web. So, yeah, that's, I mean, that's when it started. And, you know, it was, I'm trying to think, I don't know how far, I don't remember how many years it was. I mean, it was 10 years, it was about 10 years ago when I launched iGrade Plus as a, like, of, like, it became my full-time job. Like, I quit my regular job to start working on full-time about 10 years
ago. And the regular job was the aircraft carrier?
Yes, yes.
In Java.
And, yeah, so I was working, doing that job during the day, and then at night I would work on iGrade Plus when time permitted.
And, then, and iGrade Plus is the product for your sister, and the Orion is the framework.
That's the framework, yeah.
So yeah, extracted the framework from the product.
Well, no, I started developing the framework as an individual product, keeping in mind, you know, with the idea in mind that I would eventually release it as its own product. It just so happens that iGrade Plus ended up consuming so much of my time that I never had time to polish it up and release it until just this year. So,
oh, you released this year, this Orion.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been in development for like 10 years. And actually, I haven't even released it yet. I was trying to get it done before. I was trying to get the official release out before this podcast, but I didn't get it out yet. So.
But the podcast will be released a little bit later, so you have a few weeks to,
good, good.
To go.
Yeah, I really wanted to get it out. So,
okay, so I just opened the Orion. This is OORIN.com website, and the first impression is very good. So it looks great, actually. The first page, and it says iGrade Plus is commercial SaaS suite. Ah, iGrade Plus. Why the name iGrade Plus? This is commercial SaaS suite. Is this just because I thought this was for a grade from school background, right?
Yes, yes.
But it doesn't have to be that way, right? So I would say
So iGrade Plus is my other product. Mm-hmm. So if you go to iGradePlus.com, you'll see that product.
No, but this is on the bottom of Orion. Right, this is 10 plus years in production. iGrade Plus commercial SaaS suite build. Sorry.
So that's just saying that. Orion has been used to build that product. As a sort of a use case, I guess. Or
yeah, this is a use case. And the interesting part is, if you took a look at the documentation, it seems like you use Java and you have type-safe widgets which are rendered to JavaScript. This is what happens behind the scenes. HTML and JavaScript.
Yeah. So my original plan was to build Orion, the name Orion comes from it's object oriented rich internet application.
This is what I thought, because R E N, rich internet application, R-I-N. So this and O O is object oriented.
Rich internet. Yeah, and I just added the N so it sounded good. Yeah. So My idea was that I would build a whole UI widget layer on top of the foundation layer of it. But as I developed iGrade Plus, I started realizing that building really sophisticated web components is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And so that's when I started, I already have this framework in place that it's all written in Java, has this really nice event handling system, all these other features. I'll just see if I can wrap an existing, JavaScript library in this and use Java to create those widgets. And I think the first product I did that with, I think, was maybe CK Editor. And just as a sort of a proof of concept, and that worked. So then I just started using other components out there and wrapping them. And now I have it in, basically designed so that it's fairly easy to create wrappers around these JavaScript libraries. And so my goal is by the end of this year to have 170 libraries available with basically all the major JavaScript libraries are out there, and you'll just write your code in Java and you can use any of those.
I have an idea. Because what I'm doing, I'm in backend. I use Java all the time, and in frontend, I like to use web components a lot, without external dependencies, no builds, and nothing. It could be actually a great enterprise idea that you have a default rendering between new components and vanilla web components, because
okay,
then,
yeah.
Because, I'll then have to look into that. Because then. You can have enterprise applications without external dependencies, and without external dependencies means no security issues, no builds, and the components are swappable. There are lots, this could be an enterprise idea, because what I do right now is in the front ends we just use. I will put it to the show notes, and this is bce.design. If you go to my GitHub, this is like. Maybe one JavaScript class and lit HTML and Redux, and you can build reactive applications like React, without external dependencies. And this is actually used a lot. This is not a framework. It's more like idea, what you can do, unidirectional data flow, reactivity, and stuff like that. And if you would use your framework to render the front end, maybe it's a good idea, no? Who knows?
Yeah, I'll have to look at it, because right now I'm just using it to render JavaScript stuff. But it's fairly, it's well architected. So plugging in something else probably would work fairly easily. So
yeah, there's custom elements is standard. It's just like HTML tag, right? So I think it would work, because the Orion console already looks like web components. And then I don't know whether you are aware of Quarkus, the Quarkus. Dev UI is also web components, so or YouTube is also web components. So I think web components would fit well.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to look into that.
Okay, but from the technical perspective, what happened? So how to start and what to do? Let's say I would like to have what is the best possible use case for Orion?
Any web application, if just for writing it in Java. You don't want to deal with having to deal with other languages building your front end. So it's really meant to. If you were building an old school Swing application, right? Mm-hmm. Your UI is
like IntelliJ, right?
Your UI is just.
Like form based. Let's say I have a first name, last name, and button, and would like to submit it and render table on the next page, right?
Yeah, and you don't need you don't even need a next page. You could just do it on that page because it's all asynchronous. So,
So what I should, what I have to do with Orion? So how to implement that?
So you just there's one library, one jar file, and one JavaScript file. The JavaScript file does the bridge work between the Java and then the browser. So you create a page class with an annotation, page annotation. You implement create head, create body, and then all the elements are just standard HTML. They're named after HTML. And so you add divs, you add your form, you add, whatever other HTML element. And once you start getting into sophisticated controls, you can then plug in one of the separate libraries that provides sophisticated components. So
take a look at the user guide, which is nice. There's my application extends application, and you put web listener on it, and this is basically it. And the web listener, I think even it's a serverless web listener, right?
Yeah, there's an application class that just implements web listener. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the entry point. And then after that, you just create pages.
And you need a servlet container, Quarkus, or is already everything in the jar?
You do need to, there is a dependency on the servlet, servlet
API
to Carta. Now, if you need, now you're, if you, there's two ways to run this. You can run it like a standard Java web application on Tomcat or whatever, but there's also launch another separate product that you can attach that that's part of Orion called Launchpad, and that'll basically that that wraps Jetty up in so you don't need it, you don't need to set up a server yourself. You can just, it's basically a self-contained web app that you can create using Launchpad, so that's pretty easy.
You know Quarkus?
I've heard of Quarkus, but I'll be honest, since I started iGrade Plus, I have been in like a bubble for the last like 10 years. So my knowledge of what's going on around in the tech Java world outside of what I'm doing is fairly limited.
Okay. Then some ideas, because with Quarkus, what Quarkus is a like next gen servlet container, and it has a build step. And what the build step is would be interesting for you is you could, the build step can configure, could configure your application. It removes, it optimizes stuff. If there's configuration, it will read the configuration and generate Java bytecode, which configures your class or whatever. And it is like a tree shaking process. So it removes whatever is not necessary. So it's even leaner. So the Quarkus starts incredibly fast, under 1 second. So it's an, and it is way faster than Tomcat or whatever you know. And the cool story is, if you do it right, Quarkus can be compiled into native image. It means you don't distribute Java anymore. You distribute one binary file. And this binary file contains Java, Quarkus, and your application. And this starts in milliseconds, like 10, 20 milliseconds. And that's pretty cool, because if you would like to deploy your application, you just ship this file. It's usually between 20 and 50 megs, and you don't even need JDK. So it, everything is included. And Quarkus is big in enterprise. They have lots of, this is called extensions, and it's nice UI console. So the next idea you could extend with Orion is, there is a project with is loosely related to Quarkus. It's called GraalVM.
Right, right.
And what GraalVM can do is they can run WebAssembly. So I think maybe you could actually cross-compile your Java code to WebAssembly, and then it could run, you could write Java, but it would run entirely in browser, for instance.
Yeah.
Which could be interesting. So this is like, because I heard you only working 80 hours a week. So there is still, you know, and week has 100, 200 hours, right? 200 hours?
Yeah.
So you have a lot of, you know, free time where you can invest, you know, in some cool side projects.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just have to, iGrade Plus still takes up most of my time. So,
but I think I think web components is a big deal. Because how is it called? Web Awesome, for instance. This is
Web Awesome is I'm building an extension for Web Awesome. I actually already have it done. It's just not real.
But Web Awesome are web components, so you are.
Oh, are they? Okay. I didn't realize that.
Shoelace was the predecessor of Web Awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I already have that in there.
Yeah, you are not a very good salesman, I have to say. Everything is already included. And you say, I don't have it. And
I am terrible. I'm a terrible salesman. I will.
Because I have to say, it looks nice. And then we just know the ideas here. And you already supporting a lot. Tailwind, which is a Web Awesome UI extension. You're right. Tailwind, Pico, CSS, Lion UI extension, Bulma. I use Bulma a lot, interestingly. Looks nice. Bootstrap, of course. So you are crazy. There are lots of charts. You're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. D3.js is a big.
Yeah, the way I have it set up, they're easy to integrate now. So I figured I'd just add all, you know, all as many as I can to make it as flexible as possible.
As many as you can. It is a complete page of everything, pivot table and whatever. Now, I have to say, it is really fresh and interesting idea. And Quarkus or Micronaut, these are two very lightweight frameworks. And with that, you get maybe a little bit more easier, you know, enterprise clients. And you have already web components. And the technology, you are aware of Vadin?
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize I know, like I said, I've been in a bubble, so I didn't even realize Vadin was existed. Like, because the first thing I got when I went out on Reddit and, you know, posted a write up about my product to say, hey, you know, this is something I've been working on for like 10 years and I'm getting ready to release it. And, you know, does this interest anyone? And that's the first thing I got back was, well, what makes this different than Vadin? And I was like, well, you know, when I developed this, I didn't know that existed. So I don't even know. From researching it now, you know, it looks like that they did what I originally wanted to do was put their own UI layer on top of their framework.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have Vadin components, web components.
Right.
And, but I would say the interesting part is that you have a lot of extensions with ready to use JavaScript libraries.
Yeah.
And this is another take, because Vadin is the full stack, and you can say this is Java door to JavaScript libraries, right? So it's complete different use case. And
the big thing is you don't write any JavaScript. So, you know, you just plug these in and you write Java. So they're for every JavaScript component these libraries have, I've duplicated a Java component for it. So that if you go into the demos page,
to the listeners, yeah. Orion with double O, Orion and demos, and we have feature demo weather forecast, which looks already nice.
Yeah, if you go down to the each of those demos, if when you open them, you'll see a view source code button. You can look at that.
Feels like 26 degrees Celsius, or is it Fahrenheit in Ellicott?
That's where I live. That is Fahrenheit.
Ah, yes. Then it's cold.
Yeah, it's snowing outside right now.
Okay. Charts, network, demo coming soon. Network graph, business metrics also coming soon.
Yeah, there's a sales dashboard. If you look at that one, that one's implemented.
Employee tracker, sales. Sales dashboard, if you demo.
Yeah,
that's nice.
That's a demo of Chart.js. And if you look at the source code, you'll see somewhere. Well, that's probably not a good example.
You should use the Java 25 syntax with var.
Oh yeah. I'm so old school. It's
You are young. You started with Atari 400. So I would say the lines of code here are maybe 400 lines of Java code, understandable. And the JavaScript looks great. So I would say the use case is really interesting what you did. And it doesn't matter that Vadin is similar, because by accident you integrated all the JavaScript libraries and Vadin is just one library. So it's a complete different purpose, you know?
Right.
What you did is actually cool, because there are millions of JavaScript libraries. You pick some, but I think it is easier. You could have a use case where enterprise client asks you to integrate this JavaScript library, and you will do it, right? And
I mean, any end user can do it.
Yeah, but you would like to sell something, so you could do this.
Yes.
Very good. But I would encourage actually listeners to look at Orion. This I will put, of course. We will also name it the podcast episode of the Orion, how Orion happened, and I like the take. So I would say how you write Java, it doesn't matter in the demos, but I will make it more fresh. What I will also do in your case is this very easy. Use more Java records, know a little bit more builder syntax to make it a little bit more compact, more modern. But this is like really a matter of a few hours. This is not like the big deal. So I think the hard work, what you did, is the integration with JavaScript libraries and test the entire thing. And what I'm telling you right now is the last mile.
Okay, well, I will take that into consideration.
Because it has to look fresh. And this looks a little bit dated because you're not using the var. You have setters and you can have, you know, the method chaining with or whatever. And if you have a modern syntax, then it's a really nice framework, I have to say. Super cool, well, actually.
I'll tell you what, I will redo that and I'll send you an email when I'm done so you can take a look at it.
And we will record another episode, of course, and go through the changes. And maybe you should not redo this now because there are other things to do, just, you know, but keep it in mind. Take a look, you know, on modern examples from Oracle, for instance, Java 25 or whatever, and be inspired. Because if the syntax is nice, looks nice, then developers like it, right? And if it looks dated, you get on Reddit lots of heat, you know, verbose Java or whatever, then Java is not.
Yeah.
And the cool story is what I do right now, I migrate lots of Python to Java, and always Java looks nicer and is shorter than Python so far. So maybe I will one day find something which longer Python than Java. Right now, if you do it right with Java, there are lots of possibilities.
You know, Java, it seemed to not grow much for years. And then the last 10 or 15 years, it sort of just exploded. Like the number of features that have been added in the last 10 years, I can't keep up with it because I'm
so busy. You are in the bubble. You spend, you know, 80 hours with Orion. And aircraft management. But it looks good. What about the performance state management? Is it a problem? How you do this? You have sessions or?
Yeah, it uses sessions. You know, iGrade Plus has about 50,000 to 70,000 users, I think. And it gets, I think, 250,000 visits a month. I can't remember. I think
so. It is actually use in production. iGrade Plus.
Oh yeah. That's yes. Yeah, iGrade Plus has been in production for like 10 years. So yeah.
And how? Who uses iGrade Plus? Schools, but how many?
Schools. I don't know. I don't off the top of my head. I don't know how many, but
like 10, 20, 100.
Yeah, it's hundreds, and like I said, there's like I think 50,000 to 70,000 users, active users. So it's a lot. So I mean, you know, it's not Amazon, but it's definitely, you know, it's up in the I think top like 25% of traffic as far as like, you know, from statistics. So it gets heavy use. And there's no problems with performance.
But it also feels fast. Well, it runs. It does run in the cloud, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. It runs on my servers here.
Okay. Yeah, it feels really snappy. And I'm in Europe and you're in the US. Super cool. I think we covered Orion, right?
Yeah.
So I have to say...
There's a lot of features to it, but...
yeah. Would you like to mention some cool features?
So I think some of the cool features that stand out to me that I really like is the CSS stuff that I have built into. It's pretty cool. Like you can build complete CSS style sheets in memory. So if your users have, you want to build user themes and you can store that CSS in a database. And then you can load that CSS for that specific user, as if it's a file. It's an actual, you know, it's a Java class in memory. So that's pretty cool. There's a lot of dynamic CSS stuff you can do.
So you have use a specific CSS file, like a multi-tenant CSS.
Yeah. But also, like, CSS is like, CSS, it's really cryptic. I mean, it's powerful, but like trying to understand the syntax, at least for me, is just like impossible. So,
but it got better the recent years. We have CSS variables, you know, we have grid CSS. So it's the CSS grid is almost like the swing, if you remember the swing. Was it grid layout? Yeah, grid layout. So,
So, like, there's a complete Java API for setting CSS. There's enumerations for that, so you don't have to remember all the different types, you know, and all this. So that's really nice. The event handling is very cool, I think. You can, for communication, you can set each page differently or the whole application as a full AJAX or AJAX and SSE or WebSockets. You just configure it. You don't have to understand how to use any of that technology. It's a configuration switch you set, and then, you know, your program doesn't change. Your code doesn't change. It's just underneath the communication mechanism changes. And
it looks nice. So what I found is my page extends HTML page, implements mouse click listener, and there's a create body, a hook, and what you can do is there's one button, register a listener, mouse click event, and you have it, right? So, and on event, and this looks almost like JavaScript. So as you remember, the mouse click event get source equals save button. If it's a source, then save data. So what you also have to look at is what we got in Java is type patterns. So you can have switch expressions and switch cases and if statements, which dispatch regarding to the type. So in this particular case, you could say if the event source equals, okay, this is the instance, save button, but it could be HTML button, whatever. So in this particular case, I just got you that you're not comparing the type, you're comparing the instance, which is okay. But in the next iteration, what you only have to do is you have to change the examples, right? Because the framework, how the framework is implemented, no one cares. It's just the examples could be beautified, right? So there's actually nothing to do. You can just incrementally make the examples a little bit more beautiful. And at least, you know, you have to have, you know, the curly brackets in the same line as the code line. This is a C style what you implemented.
Oh, I know.
Developers hate it.
I cannot read code that is written with the brackets on the same line. I can't read code.
But if you get an enterprise, you know, client and will pay you, so you can change the examples and reformat the code, right? It's also possible.
Yeah. Yeah,
this will be the first assignment.
Yeah, I have my own personal tastes as far as styling goes. So it differs from the stand.
Like from my taste, unfortunately, but it is just the formatting. So this is the formatting and a little bit beautification. But I'm impressed actually. The amount of care and the features are amazing. And with a little bit of beautification, what you should do is Java 1 is in 2 weeks. I guess they have no more slots, but the project is interesting enough. I will ping Sharath Chanda and ask him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, San Francisco, Java 1.
Well, I don't think I could do that. I'm a shut-in.
You should do this. You should go out.
I need to hire someone. I need to hire someone as the face of this to do that for me. So
okay. Or you should practice, because this would be an interesting project. This is like, you know, there are not a lot of such Java projects. And yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you a lot. If you have a new release or just it was really nice to chat with you, just ping me and do a record, you know. The Orion, but this is OO. this is why I always Orion, or this is Orion actually. What would it could be in logo would be cool, O2, you know, O2 Ryan, for instance. Two O's. Yeah. Yeah, but it was a lots of fun, and I hope you good luck with the project. I wish you a good luck with the project, and I would like to invite you back to talk a little bit more in depth about the features, use cases, whatever. Just focus on Orion next time, or yeah, iGrade Plus.
I would be happy to do that. Yeah, and I appreciate your invite.
Yeah, sure. If someone pings me, you know, with an interesting project, I usually invite. You know, this is my reaction. Yeah.
And I'll get those code samples formatted the way you like it. Now,
no, it's just not because of me. But the C style is, I think, most of Java developers like, and out of the curly brackets the same line. And just take a look at data oriented programming from Oracle. Some ideas, the newer one in Java 25, and make the code maybe as simple and compact as possible. And maybe you will like it, you know, and developers will appreciate it, because this is my way actually to write modern code, almost like a sport, you know, how simple can you make? And this is amazing what you can do with Java actually.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got to get out of the bubble.
and this is fun. You cannot break anything. You have already the code. It's just example code, what I'm talking about. Yeah. You don't have to change the framework. It's just, you know, to play with the framework, just, you know, what I will do in your case is just pick Java 25 examples and try to write with the ideas from Java 25 examples, you know, Orion code.
So this is all new to Java 25. There's nothing before. None of this stuff is before Java 25.
Java 25 is LTS and Java 26 is on the horizon. So I think this is new framework. Why not to target Java 25?
Yeah. No.
Nothing if you think about it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to look at that.
But whatever I said, think about. This is not like I'm telling you to do anything, because you spent 10 years with that. Just as my impression, you know, what I see.
Yeah. Well, you're the Java expert, so.
Yeah. Well, what means Java expert? You know, I spent in boring enterprise projects, code reviews, architecture. Is not like I'm building, you know, it's not like rocket science, you know. I'm not building, you know, aircrafts. This is more like boring enterprise applications with database. I was never at NASA, never, and no rockets and no aircraft carrier. So this is about me, you know. So thank you. Where people can find you on the internet?
I'm on LinkedIn. Blue Sky.
Orion.com with double O, O, Orion.com, right?
Yeah.
And iGrade Plus, which also iGradePlus.com, iGradePlus.com.
Yeah.
And the Orion and iGrade Plus look professional and great, clean, professional, great. It doesn't look like a typical Java framework website, I would say, like.
Yeah, that's one thing. I like to have polish on stuff. So
yeah, and it's really polished. Mm-hmm. And your name is Marvin Warble.
Yep. Yeah.
And this is where you are on LinkedIn. And yeah, people can connect to with you on LinkedIn or try Orion and give you nice feedback and like the project or whatever, right?
Yep, and hopefully this will be available by the time this airs. So
yeah, I can wait. Okay. Then thank you a lot and see you next time.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate it.